This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
Matthew 21. And I'm going to try not to be long, so we can go down and also enjoy. And we're going to have communion today, so I'm going to try to be real careful of the time. But we're going to let the Lord have His way. Because if there ever was a time that you need to have your ears open to the message, today is one of those times. Because it's very important as we come today and celebrate Palm Sunday. Amen. We're going to read Matthew 21, verses 1 to 17. Okay? And the title of this message that I've given is, "This is Jesus the..." question mark. Okay? This is Jesus the... fill in the blank. Okay? Now you might say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor Rich? We know who Jesus is. Well, let's look at the scriptures today and see what happens. Today we're going to talk about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Okay? And as we study about this and see what happens, I want you to think a little bit about if Jesus today would have come to Oriel Christian Assembly, what would have happened? Okay? Wouldn't that be exciting if He really came in the flesh today here? How many would like to see Jesus today? Amen? All right, well, He physically went to Jerusalem. All right, and that's what we're going to read about here today. Amen. So let's begin at verse 1 of Matthew 21. And it says here, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples..." We're going to read the first couple verses and stop. "Saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway He will send them." So here we are. Jesus comes into Bethphage, which is near Jerusalem, and He's at the Mount of Olives. Okay? Sister Enza just went to Jerusalem. Did you go to the Mount of Olives? Okay. So this is really going to relate to her today, probably more than us, because she was just there. But here they were. They were at the Mount of Olives. And here we see that Jesus now gives an assignment to His disciples. Okay? He gives them instructions. He tells them, you know, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go into the village that is next door here, and you're going to find a donkey, and you're going to find a colt. All right? And you're going to loose them from where they are, and you're going to bring them unto me. All right? And He says, if anybody says anything to you, just tell them that the Lord needs them, and they will go along with you. So He sends them out, and He gives them an assignment here, what to do. How many know today, and even in our lives, God gives us assignments? Amen? He calls us to do things. Some of us, individual things. Some as a church. God gives all of us. Because how many know today we're His disciples also? Amen? It wasn't just the 12 from back here, but we are also today His disciples. So, understanding that, we see that this happened at the Mount of Olives. Now, later on, Jesus also talks to His disciples at the Mount of Olives. And I want you to look at this quickly before we go on. In Matthew chapter 24, we're going to look at one verse, Matthew 24:3. And here we read also of what takes place as Jesus speaks to His disciples here. He says, "And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world?" So this Mount of Olives was an important place that the disciples met with Jesus, and Jesus talked to them and ministered them to them. And the disciples wanted to know, you know, when are all these things going to happen in the end times? You know, when are you going to come back, right? How is it going to be when you come back? And how is the end of the world going to be? So this was a special place that Jesus was meeting here with his disciples, okay? Going back to Matthew 21. Let's continue here and see what happens, all right? In verse 4 of Matthew 21, it says, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." So here we are, church. What is about to happen here? This was all being done that what? Prophecy was going to be fulfilled. Amen? How many know in the scriptures, in the New Testament, we see many prophecies being fulfilled from the Old Testament? This was one of them. Alright? And I want you to see this, that this was prophesied by the prophet. We go back to, it's actually in a couple places, but in Zechariah 9:9, we see this prophecy. So we're going to look at that. Okay? Zechariah. I don't know, you probably say, well, we don't, you know, we don't really read too much from Zechariah. Well, there's a purpose and a time to do that. It's very important here what we're seeing, and we're going to look at it now just for a moment. Praise God. Hallelujah. Zechariah. Now there's Zephaniah, and there's also Zechariah. So don't get them mixed up here today. 9:9 of Zechariah. Look what it says. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." Amen. "Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt the foal of an ass." So here, back in Zechariah, and also it's in Isaiah, it was prophesied years ago that Jesus was going to come into Jerusalem, and he was going to be riding on these animals. All right. So here we see Jesus telling the disciples what to do to go get the animals and to come. And all this was taking place, that prophecy was going to be fulfilled. Amen. That excites me when I see the Word of God being fulfilled. Amen. And that's what we're seeing here this morning as we talk about Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Let's continue on with Matthew 21. Praise God. Verse 6, it says, "And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them." Ooh, what a blessing. "And they brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon." How many today are thankful that the disciples did what Jesus commanded? Amen? Because they were what? Obedient. We've seen this all come to pass. Amen? It's very important that disciples are obedient to their master. Amen? And because of their obedience, this all took place. All right. Today, in the same way as we are his disciples, we are his children today, we must be obedient also. Amen. And do what he's called us to do. So see the picture here, that they bring the donkey and they bring the colt and they spread their clothes on them. Amen. And then they put Jesus on there. Amen. I mean, You have to try to picture some of this in your mind as you read this. Amen. You know, nowadays, if we have a person of prestige or a person of great importance like the president was to come, and you know, President Obama, he's from Chicago. Amen. But if he was to come, he would come in a big limousine probably, right? He would come with the best that was out there, right? And that limousine would be sparkling clean and shiny, amen? But Jesus didn't come that way, amen? It says he came on a donkey and a colt, all right? That he was going to come, it tells us in verse 5, come as a meek person, right? Very meek, even though he was a king, he was going to come meek, amen? So how many know today our Jesus is not like a lot of people today, amen? He comes riding on this donkey and on this colt, meek, okay? Representing what was here about to happen, which is very important as we look on this. So we see here, though, in these couple verses, that they spread their clothes, all right? They put their clothes on the animals, and they are showing here not only that they're obedient, but they're respecting who Jesus is, and they want it, even though they're only animals, they want it to be really special for him, okay? Which is good, you see that here. But let's go on here and see what happens as we read these scriptures here. Really important, amen? So, we read here that they did what Jesus commanded, and they put him on there. Now, as we go on in verse 8, it says, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way." So now a great number of people, as they are riding along, right, down the path, people are now spreading their garments, their clothes. Not only that, others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. So here we see now the palm branches. Amen? They get the branches from the trees and they spread that also along the path, the road, the street that Jesus is coming down. Amen? This is very important here and significant as we look at this, because this was their way of honoring Jesus. Amen? They were honoring Jesus with their clothes and with the palm branches that they had. They were making the path for Jesus to come down. Amen? Significant here. They were giving God His due and His honor. Praise God. Let me ask us today, how are we honoring Jesus? Amen? How are we giving Him glory today? Amen? Now again, when you came in, and we did this a couple years back, I think the first year that we came here, we had palm branches. How many remember that? It was like 3 years ago, right? But this year, we didn't do that, but you came in with yourself. Amen? You came in, and hopefully you came in, like I said earlier, with your palms, right? Ready to praise Him. Amen? Ready to glorify Him. You didn't need to put a palm branch down or your clothes down, but you came in ready to give Him worship. You came to honor Him today. Amen? And we don't just do that on Palm Sunday. How many know what I'm talking about? We do that every time we come to church. Amen? But especially today, that's what we should have done, and hopefully we did in a way that was pleasing unto God. But here, a great amount of people came and honored Jesus, okay? A great multitude, which is very important here. Let's read on here as we go on. It says in verse 9, "And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying," now look at what they did. They said, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Amen. Hosanna. Amen. How many know when we come to church, we may not say per se, Hosanna, but we need to bless His name. Amen. We need to glorify His name. Say, "Jesus, You are awesome in this place." Amen. They said, "Hosanna." Hallelujah. And look at the way they said it. "To the Son of David." How many know Jesus came along the line of David? This was the Jewish people, right? His chosen people. They said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Oh, hallelujah. I hope you came in with that in your spirit today. Amen. Are we crying out Hosanna today? Amen. Lord, I bless You today. Amen. There's no one like You today. Amen. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Oh, hallelujah. That's what the people were doing here. Amen. Multitudes that went before and followed. They were crying this out. Amen. I can just picture it, right? Hallelujah. Important that we see that and that we do that too. It's a way of praising and worshiping Him and honoring Him today. Let's read on. It says in verse 10, "And when He was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this?" You need to catch this here today, church. It says, when He came into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, and they said, "Who is this?" How many know we need our city moved today? Amen? We need not only this community, but Chicago and our nation to be moved, right? Amen? To be touched. Hallelujah. It says they were moved. The Amplified Bible here says it a little bit different, okay? It says they were agitated. I mean, it's going to get your attention here this morning. They were agitated. Not everybody was blessed to see Jesus, okay? Some were agitated. Some were trembling with excitement. Think about it. If Jesus had come today, I think we'd be trembling with excitement, wouldn't you? I mean, to be able to see Jesus, right? But they were moved, okay? They were moved by Him coming. And what's so interesting here, it says, who is this? You know what? If Jesus came today, a lot of people would say that. A lot of people wouldn't even recognize Him today. And they would say the same thing. They would say, who is this man? But let me ask us here today, church, would we recognize Him? Amen? Would we be able to say right away, that's Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. That's the Son of God. Amen. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Right? But that was not per se what happened here. Oh, hallelujah. We're getting to a point in the message here. Amen. They said, who is this? Look at verse 11. It says, and the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. They asked the question, who is it? And now they get a response. The multitude responds and says, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Amen. Jesus, the what? The prophet. That's a little interesting to me. How about you today? Amen. It said, Jesus, the prophet, right? Jesus who? The prophet. Well, what about Jesus, the Son of God? Amen. What about Jesus, the Savior? Or what about Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Hallelujah. No, they didn't say that though. They said, oh, this is Jesus, the prophet. Interesting here. Amen. How many know that today, when we look at Jesus, yes, He was a prophet, but how many know He's prophet, He's a priest, and He's a king also? Amen? He's all of them. Amen? But they didn't look at Him that way. Oh, hallelujah. Today, how do people look at our Jesus, right? How do we look at our Jesus? This was God who came in the flesh. Amen? How many have heard the term, this was the God-man, Jesus? Right? He was God, but He came in the flesh like we did as a man. Amen? You know, it's really important today that we don't just say, this is Jesus, the prophet. Because how many know today there's religions that are out there, and I'll name a few, not to put them down, but to make you understand, they look at Jesus a certain way. Okay? How many know Muslims, they look at Jesus as the prophet. Okay? They don't look at Jesus as the Son of God. And how many know today? That means everything. It really does. Okay? There's the Jehovah's Witnesses. There's the Mormons. Okay? And again, I'm not saying this to put them down, but you better know your Bible today. Amen? They look at Jesus just as a prophet, not as the Son of God. Oh, that's so important today. Amen. How do we look at Him? Amen. How many know today that we can't just look at Him as the prophet, but He is the Son of God. Amen. He really is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know what? I can really be saved if I come to Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. How many know today a prophet can't save you from your sins? Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting somewhere here, church. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. A priest can lead you to Jesus, but you know what? A priest cannot save you from your sins. Oh, hallelujah. And even a king today cannot save you, but can lead you to what? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one that can really save us from our sins today, and that's Jesus. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So this was really important, what was taking place here. They said, who is this man? Oh, they said, he's a prophet. Well, he was, but he was a lot more than just a prophet. Amen. There's churches today that they look at Jesus that way, and you know what? They're lost. They don't have the true gospel. Amen. How many are thankful today? We know the real truth. We can't have a partial truth. We got to have the whole truth will set us free. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. This is exciting today. Amen. It gets better. Let's move on here. How many are getting something today? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Get ready, because Jesus is on the move now as we go on. In verse 12 it says, and Jesus went into the temple of God, and he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Oh, hallelujah. Can you picture this? Jesus now walks into the temple. Amen. The temple of God. Let me put it in our terms today. Jesus comes to church. Hallelujah. And what does he do? He's not too happy here. Jesus comes and what? He cleans house. Oh, hallelujah. He comes and he cleans house. It says here that he comes in and he casts out those who were what? Selling, and they were buying, and those who were taking care of the money. He cast them out of the temple. Oh, my God. And he what? As we understand this here, it says he threw over the tables and the chairs and the seats. Jesus came and he cleaned the temple. Oh, my God. Why? Because they were doing things in a temple they shouldn't have been doing. Amen? How many know when you come to church, it's not a place that you're to buy and sell? Amen? Oh, yeah, you might buy something in the church, right? You might buy a tape, or you might buy a CD, or if the church is selling candy for the kids or something, you might do that, but that's far from why you're here today. Amen? But they were what? Buying and selling. They were running a business in the temple. So Jesus was not very pleased here. He throws them all out. Amen. Who, Jesus? Yeah, Jesus. He throws the tables over. He throws the chairs over. Amen. If you ever talk about a righteous anger, Jesus had it right there. Amen. Because this is not the way the temple was supposed to be. Amen. It's not the way church is supposed to be even today. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. This is so important. We understand here what was taking place. Amen. Let me ask you this today, church. If Jesus were to come here, hallelujah, and Jesus were to come and visit Oriel Christian Assembly or the next closest church in our community, amen, would he be pleased? Hallelujah. You don't have to answer that today. If Jesus had come today, would he be pleased here? Amen. Oh, I hope and pray, yes. How about you? Amen. I hope and pray that he would have felt welcome here. Amen. And he would have said, that's my church. Amen. This is what they're supposed to do. Amen. Are we perfect here? No. By no means are we. But I pray and I hope he wouldn't have had to come here and throw anything over. Amen. And not have to throw anybody out. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. But that's what he did years ago when he went into Jerusalem. How many know our Jesus don't play games? He's for real. Amen. Yes, he's a meek man, but he's also righteous and just, and he don't put up with nonsense. Amen. That's our Jesus. Hallelujah. That's our Jesus. Now look at here in verse 13. He tells them what the temple is supposed to be about. Amen. He says, and he said unto them, it is written, hallelujah. That's a signal there. My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So he, after he does what he does, he says, you know what? This is what my house, this is what my temple is supposed to be. What? A house of prayer. Hallelujah. I got one amen I heard. Praise God. What is the church supposed to be? A house of prayer. Amen. Amongst other things. Amen. Yeah, you're going to get teaching. You're going to get preaching. You're going to sing, right? You're going to have songs like we did this morning. We had some awesome songs today. Amen. But Jesus didn't say that, did he? He says, you know what? It's written. Oh, that should... He's trying to make a point here to them. Do you know what the Old Testament says? It's written. Amen. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Oh, hallelujah. We need to be praying. Hallelujah. This was prophetic, right? This was prophetic, what was said by Jesus. It was said in the Old Testament. Let's go to Isaiah 56:7. Amen. Isaiah 56:7. Isaiah 56:7. How many are seeing what took place when Jesus went into Jerusalem? It had to be an awesome time. Amen. He shook some things up. How many know sometimes the church needs to be shaken up? Sometimes even the pastor needs to be shaken up. Oh, hallelujah. I got some amens now. Oh, but this was prophetic. He said this was written. You should notice. He was trying to tell those in the temple, what are you doing this in my temple? You should know better. It was written years ago what you should be doing in the house of God. Amen. He says in 56:7 of Isaiah, he says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. He's talking about the Gentiles. Me and you today, amen. He says, and make them joyful in my house of what? Prayer. Hallelujah. He says, oh Jesus, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Oh, hallelujah. Are you getting this today, church? The temple and the church today should be known for it being a house of prayer. Amen. I shouldn't have to beg people or my wife on Sunday morning to get here early to pray. You should run here at times. Amen. Even Wednesday night. I know Wednesday night we're working during the day. It's different than Sunday and it's hard for us to get here. But some of us ought to be able to get here early and pray. Amen. We want God to move. We got to pray. Amen. Today we were praying. Amen. I'd have a talk with my council and said, we got to pray more. Amen. We got to do it. If we're not doing it like we should, how can we expect anybody else to? I don't play games either, church. Amen. Because I need to follow Jesus. Amen. So he reprimands them. His own people. He reprimands them and said, you guys are missing the boat. Right? This picture is not good, what I'm seeing. I wonder how many churches are doing things that shouldn't be today. I sure hope we're not. Amen? Because I don't want to get duped. Do you? I want Jesus to applaud us and say, you're doing good. Keep doing what I'm telling you to do. Amen? But this was a time of letting them know, you know what? There needs to be some changes done. Hallelujah. Let's move on here. Verse 14. Now look at what Jesus does in the temple. And this is what we want to see happen in our temple, in our church today. Amen. He says, and the blind and the lame came to him who, Jesus in the temple, and he healed them. Hallelujah. Today, it should be no different. The blind are going to come in, blind not only physically, but spiritually. Amen. And the lame, physically and spiritually. And you know what? Jesus is going to heal them. Hallelujah. And you know what? He's going to use us to do some of that healing. Amen. It's no different today when we come to the church, to the temple of God. Amen. Just like Jesus, he was our example here in Jerusalem. What did he do? He healed the blind and he healed the lame. Amen. That's part of our vision, right? We want to see people healed. Praise God. How many know when people receive salvation, they begin to get healed? Hallelujah. Spiritually, and God begins to heal your heart and begins to heal your emotions and begins to change your life and your relationships and your family. When what? Jesus is in the house. Hallelujah. You know, if he ain't here, we're all wasting our time. Amen. But he said, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst today. Amen. He's here right now, church. Amen. His Spirit is here. So Jesus shows us, you know what? This is my house of prayer. And you know what? When you come to the house of prayer, people are going to be getting healed. Amen. And I don't care if you're a Christian today for 20 or 30 years, you still get healed by God. You still need to continually get healed. Some of us still need to be delivered from things today. Amen. None of us have arrived here. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness? Amen. Otherwise, I'll have an altar call now. No. Right? So this is what Jesus did in the temple. This is what is supposed to happen here, and it is happening. Amen. The church is a place where people are going to be touched by God all the time. It might happen in the praise and worship. Amen. It can happen even before I even get up here and begin to share the word. God begins to minister to you and heal you. Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful I can go to Dr. Jesus when I need a touch. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let me move on or I won't get done. This is so good. Preparing this, I was just getting excited because there's so much truth here for us to receive on this Palm Sunday. Amen. 15, it says, and when the chief priests and the scribes, you need to pay attention here again, saw the wonderful things that he did. Who? Jesus did, right? Wonderful things. He says, and now catch this, and the children crying in the temple. Oh, hallelujah. And saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased. So, look at this picture now again. The religious leaders of that day. Amen. Who? The priests and the scribes. Jesus comes, right? And he begins to minister and people are getting healed. People are getting touched. And look at this. And we want to see this happen more and more in our church. The children are crying in the temple. It didn't say adults. It said children. Oh, hallelujah. Angelina, crying before God. Amen. I worship you, Lord. Hosanna, Lord. Amen. Our children do that. I want to see them do it even more. Amen. The children, hallelujah. It says the children were praising God and worshiping God in the temple, in the church. Amen. There's churches, let me tell you, that they have children, that there's young people, youth are on fire for God today. Amen. It's happening all around, okay? Just like here. But notice what happens as they are worshiping God and praising Jesus here. It says the priests and the scribes, they were sore displeased. Say, what? Something don't make sense here. Amen? Something wrong with this picture too. The leaders of that day, the religious leaders of that day should have what? Been blessed and excited. Amen? Saying, yes, look it, we got revival in the temple. Something's happening here. Amen? No, they were sore displeased. Instead of being blessed, amen. You say, well, I don't get it, church. I don't get it. Why would the priests, the leaders of that day, the scribes, you know, the ones who wrote, right? Instead of being excited that Jesus was there, right? He was the one they talked about, right? They wrote about. Instead of them being happy, They're sore displeased. Let me share something with you right now. Not all leaders are for real. Okay? Not all quote-unquote religious leaders are genuine today. They weren't genuine back then, right? So when Jesus showed up and began to have ministry happen in the temple, in the church, let me tell you what happened. The spotlight was taken over those religious leaders. They didn't like it. They had the people that were under them, they had authority over those people. But when Jesus came on the scene, you know what? Those leaders lost their authority. They didn't control the people anymore. How many know we're not to control one another anyways? He controls us, amen? And even today, there's religious leaders who are not real. They're not genuine, just like these leaders at this time, okay? They were not in the right place with God. So they were displeased. They were not only displeased, they were what? Sore displeased. Did you catch that? They were really upset, all right? Really upset. Here's a word I like that was in the Amplified Bible. They were indignant. That's a strong word. They were upset. Who is this guy coming in here taking over the temple? Oh, God. I'm not going to be that way. Amen. Jesus, come. Hallelujah. Take over. Hallelujah. I don't know what I'm doing. You do. Amen. I need you here, right? Don't we need the Spirit of God here? We need Jesus to move here. Amen. We give him freedom here. We give him a liberty here. Not like these people. They wanted to control. They wanted to be in the spotlight. Let me tell you today, church, there's churches like that today. And I hate to say it, as a minister, there's ministers who are not in it for the right reasons. Okay? They're in it for their gain and not for the gain of the kingdom. Hallelujah. We need to be careful, my God. That's why they were sore displeased. Verse 16, and he said unto them, now he's talking Jesus unto these leaders, he said, hearest thou what these say? Who? The children. What are the children saying? He says, are you listening to the children, leaders? He says, and Jesus said unto them, yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes or children, amen, and sucklings or infants, thou hast perfected praise? Oh, hallelujah. He's trying to make these leaders understand this was also prophetic, what he just said. This was from the Old Testament. Amen. He says, are you listening to what these children are saying? Amen. Let me make a point here. Sometimes we need to listen to the children. Not always, but sometimes. Amen. Sometimes the children can show us the way. Amen. And that's what was happening here. The children were worshiping and praising God while these leaders were upset that Jesus had showed up in the temple. Oh my God. We don't have to turn there. But in Psalm 8 verse 2, this is the reference. This is prophetic. This was said back in the Old Testament. It said it in the same way and in a little bit different. It said, out of the mouth of babes, which here means children and sucklings, which are infants, it says, you have perfected praise. Praise is perfected when it comes out of children. Amen. It's a beautiful thing, right? In the Old Testament, in Psalm 8:2, it says, you have ordained strength for a reason. Through what? The praise of children, the praise of young people. That also means youths here. Okay? Lord, we need some youth in here. Amen. We have them sometimes, but we want to see youth also praising God and worshiping God, because it says, strength is ordained to them so that the enemy would be stilled. I don't know if we're getting this here today, that when we praise and worship, it's a weapon against the enemy today. Amen? Our praise and our worship, it will still the enemy. It will stop him in his tracks. Oh, praise is a weapon in warfare today, church. Hallelujah. That's a whole other message. Amen. But Jesus said, will you just look at the children and see what they're doing? What a testimony for us today. Why is the praise of children perfected today? Because they're innocent and they're genuine. Amen? How many know when we come to Jesus and we begin to praise and worship Him, we got to be innocent from our heart and we need to be what? Genuine. We got to be real. Amen? not putting on a front, not fake. Amen? How many know there's people who go to church and they sing, but their heart's not in it? You know, some of us might have been there at some time. Amen? You went to church and you sang because everybody else sang, but it didn't come from your heart. Oh, it's real quiet in here. Let me move on. Amen? So picture this, okay? Picture this, what was going on. Now look at how this segment ends. It says in verse 17, and he left them. Jesus now leaves them, okay? And it says, and he went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. So Jesus now, he leaves them, and he goes to another place, Bethany. You say, well, why did he leave, Pastor Rich? What do you think? These people didn't get it. Amen? They didn't receive the message here. They didn't understand that. You know what? The message of Jesus coming to Jerusalem, they didn't understand it. Amen. So Jesus said, I'm out of here. I'm going to the next town. Maybe they'll get it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. They didn't see it. They didn't see it. So Jesus says, I'm out of here. Hasta la bye-bye. Okay? I'm going to some other people to share the truth because they're not seeing it. Even though the kids got it, the adults don't got it. Oh, hallelujah. Today, I hope we got it. Amen? That's why Jesus came, church. Amen? And as this week, we need to really think about the Lord and understand what this Holy Week means. Amen? It really is a holy week. It's a difficult week for Jesus, what he did years ago, right? But he came. This was the beginning when he came into Jerusalem. And then as the week goes on, we find out what he did for us. Amen. So today, as we now prepare and get our hearts ready for communion, we should be doing what the kids are doing. And what were they doing? They were shouting, hallelujah. They were saying what? Hosanna to the Son of David. Amen. They were saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hallelujah. Are we saying that, church? Amen. We need to, right? We need to give him praise. We need to give him worship. Hallelujah. How many are happy you came today? Hallelujah. How many got a better understanding of what Palm Sunday means now? Amen. Let's use our palms, not just on Palm Sunday. Amen. We got to get it right. Praise God. We got to get it right. Amen. Hallelujah. We can call the first lady up with the children, one of the ushers. We can go get them so they can join us for communion. Hallelujah. I'm going to read you a couple verses to prepare our hearts here, okay?